Let us again seek the Lord's help. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ is everything we need in a Saviour. We thank you that he can sympathise with us in our weakness. We thank you that he lives forever in power. We thank you, O Lord, that he shows us how great your love for us is. Lord, as we hear your word tonight, please open our eyes to see Jesus. Oh, may our eyes be fixed upon him. Give us, Lord, a greater, clearer, deeper knowledge of who he is. Fill us, please, with the knowledge of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This evening, I hope that we can continue through the Gospel of Mark. And we come tonight in chapter 1 to verse 40. And we'll hear to the end of the chapter. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, from verse 40. This is the word of God. Now, a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him, and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded, as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction. So let us consider together what this passage in God's word is teaching us. In the first chapter of his gospel, Mark introduces us to our Lord Jesus Christ. We're told in the very first few verses, the good news that Jesus from Nazareth is the Saviour. He's the Christ. He's the coming anointed King and Saviour. He's the one long promised to redeem the world. And then we're told about the beginning of his ministry around Galilee, how he begins to save us. He calls disciples to come follow him. But most of all, Mark, in his gospel, tells us about his mighty acts, his miracles, his amazing deeds. Compared to the other gospels, there aren't long sections recorded of the teaching of the Lord Jesus in Mark's gospel. The emphasis is always on what Christ is doing. And there's a dynamism to Christ in action. How even in Capernaum, the whole city comes to him. And verse 34, he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. Now, when Mark's making this the focus, all the amazing things that Jesus did, he's letting Christ's actions speak for himself. Sometimes actions are more powerful than words. It's a very powerful way of testifying that Jesus Christ is Lord. God is known by his saving actions. You'll know that that's one of the things we learn throughout the Old Testament. God's known when he reveals himself in saving actions, the Red Sea, the fire of Elijah. This incomparable record of these amazing miracles is shouting out to us that Jesus is God. He's the God who saves. He's the Lord. Only the Lord can do such things. So here he is in the flesh. That's what Mark is saying to us. And in chapter 1, we hear about three people in particular whom Christ saves. It's not just about the multitude. Each individual, one of us as his people, matters. And their personal stories show us how Christ heals us. And he heals us completely. In verses 21 to 28, if you remember, we meet a poor man who's controlled by a demon in a synagogue. This is a soul possessed by the powers of darkness. But Christ heals him. You see, Christ set him free. Christ has power and authority over all the forces of evil that are in the world. All the powers and principalities seeking to corrupt and destroy us. Christ is Lord over them. He heals us from them. Or then secondly, verses 30 to 31, we met the mother-in-law of Simon Peter, dying from a fever. And Christ heals her. So much so, she's got this new vigor that she jumps up to serve him. And again, you see all these hopeless situations. When Christ comes, he heals. And so Christ has the power to heal the body, to even heal us from the effects of the fall, of death coming into the world. So here is the one who defeats evil, who can heal from the fall. And tonight in our passage, the third person we meet, we see that Christ is the one who can heal us of sin. Christ can heal our souls. We meet a poor leper and Christ cleanses him. Christ cleanses him. If you look with me, notice how cleansing, being clean or unclean, is what this passage is about. That's what's at the heart of this poor man's meeting with Christ. Verse 40, he asks, if you are willing, you can make me clean. 41, Christ's grace to him. I am willing, be cleansed. And verse 42, he was cleansed. Then Christ tells him, go to the priest according to the law of God to make an offering of a thanksgiving for his cleansing. Now we'll need to unpack and try to understand what this means, this cleansing. But the heart of it, what it's really about, is the good news that our Jesus cleanses us from sin. To put it positively, he heals us, he makes us holy. He makes us holy. He can heal us of our sinfulness. As we look at this passage, I want to try to drive one key thought home with you. That we need a healing that is more than skin deep. We need a healing that is more than skin deep. According to the law of God, especially as codified for us in Leviticus, this man, because of his disease, is unclean. That's his status. Now that really means he's got four problems. Sickness, shame, sin, and separation. So obviously his first problem is the sickness itself that he's suffering from. The word leper can cover a wide variety of skin diseases. So there's something here that's left him disfigured or scarred. In the worst possible case, his own skin and joints are rotting. Or pieces of him would have been damaged and are worn or falling off. Do you imagine the pain? And he's desperate. And there's no cure. There's no medicine for what this man is suffering. It'd be impossible to live any kind of normal life. But he's also suffering from shame. And by that, we don't just mean a sense of shame in himself, but society would have shamed him. It seems that amongst the Jews in Christ's time, that to many people, if they saw someone afflicted like this, they'd consider it a punishment from God. You might think of Job's comforters. You might think of the question the disciples ask about the blind man in John 9. Was it for this man's sin or for somebody else's that he's blind? And so many would have looked at him as cursed by God. He's in a dishonorable state. Everyone would have looked down on him. He's classified as shameful and so made to feel deep shame. And he also suffers from separation. He's kept separate from society. He's not allowed to live amongst other people for fear of contaminating them. And he's kept separate from God. Israel is a holy community centered around the holy presence of God in the temple. Well, the law determines that anyone with leprosy like this has to be cut off from this, from that contact with God, from anything good or holy. And the root of all of this is the man's problem of sin. What I'm trying to say to you is his problem was more than skin deep. You see, if you met this man walking down the street, you'd see the outward disease and you'd pity him. But his real need is much deeper. The problem underneath is sin. The sin that we all suffer from. See, we need to try to understand that this concept of cleanliness and leprosy. His leprosy is a very visible consequence of mankind's fall into sin. In many of us, there's not such an obvious visible effect of sin. All the laws of clean and unclean in the Old Testament law were given to teach God's people about sin. Some of them were symbolically teaching about sin. Sin is anything that falls short of God's glory. It's anything that falls short of the purity of God, the pure goodness of God. And anything that falls short of the purity of creation. When God made the world, it was purely good. 100% good. There's nothing in it that's wrong or defiled or out of place. And so the cleanliness laws, since our fall into sin, we had to teach God's people about that purity of God and that sin is anything that is impure. And so, for example, many of the laws covered anything to do with death, anything associated with death, whether it would be blood or violent animals or dead bodies. They are all unclean because they're all manifestations of the effects of sin, of how sin has brought death into the world. God's people must not be near it. And sin has brought disorder into what is God's good creation. So certain animals who would have something mixed about them, mixed in terms of where they'd live or what kind of food they ate, well, they were unclean. Because again, symbolically, it's representing now this impurity in creation. They weren't to mix certain kinds of crops because it was teaching them that creation was no longer pure. Good is now mixed with evil. Life with death and right with wrong. And the other nations, they were unclean because they worshipped false gods. They were impure. They failed to glorify God. And leprosy was singled out in this way as unclean because it was a living picture of the problem of sin. Leprosy is a disease that rots you away from within. Just as sin really lies in our polluted, sinful natures within us that is rotting us from within. This man, according to the law, embodies sin. He's a miserable picture of sin. That we're all dying while alive. That we are impure. That within, more than skin deep, we're a mix of good and evil desires, aren't we? We're a mix of impure motives and ambitions. Isn't that the root of the problem? Our hearts have this impure love for the wrong things. So leprosy and this living death, this man is unclean because he's in that position of sin. So you see what I mean when I say this man is here to show us that the problem is more than skin deep. It's about the terrible effects of sin we all suffer. Our whole world is polluted and impure. And see, though, that this man, though, this believer to his credit, knows that his problem is more than skin deep. Think about what he asks of Christ. He does not ask to be healed. He has to be clean. He could have said, couldn't he, heal me of this wretched disease. But he doesn't. He asks for something much more, something much harder, much greater. He says, you can make me clean. You see, he knows he's got to get to the root of the real problem, doesn't he? That you could even be healed of a bodily illness, but still be in your sin. Still not be holy and right with God. And this man knows he's looking even deeper than his problem on the surface to the real need that Christ can give him, to cleanse him. We all have problems, real problems, whether work or money, family or health. Life is full of trials. That's the reality of our fallen world. Things that will make us unhappy. But our great mistake is we so often think our problems are these skin deep ones. This is the great mistake people make, why they don't come to Christ. They think, if I could just get a better job, if I could just change my relationship, if I just had a nicer home or car, just that one thing, that would change my life and I'd be happy and at peace. And so many millions of people go through life trying to solve their problems, but it's all just skin deep. It's not getting to the real need, the real crisis. And what we've got to particularly do as Christians today is try to probe deeper with people and help them see that there's something deeper underneath. And even you can get to the point of seeing that our actions, what we do, is sinful and wrong. But even that's only skin deep. We've got to go deeper still to our hearts, to our impure loves and impure desires deep within. Our hearts need to be made pure in love. And so you see, in his coming to Christ, this leper is an example for us all. We've got to see clearly that deep need in us and mourn over the corruption that's in us. Our real need is to be made pure. Don't you want to be pure? Don't you want to be free of that conflict inside you? That battle between selfish sin and selfless love that just rages in us every day, to be pure in heart. And like the leper, we've got to come with humility and hope to Christ to change our hearts. Lord, don't just give us help now, or better jobs, more comfort. Lord, don't just heal our bodies. Don't just make our lives a little easier. Let us not just try to use God to try to gain those kinds of things. But let us determine to seek God for the greatest thing, our biggest need, to be purified, to be purified from sin, to be made pure in love from the heart. That we would love God purely, heart, mind, soul, and strength. So he comes in humility to Christ. He implores Christ. He kneels in before Christ. He knows there's no other help. There's no other way. There's nothing he can do. It is Christ or it is nothing. He's just throwing himself onto the mercy of Christ. Are you willing, Lord? I've heard that you are a good and gracious Savior. I throw myself into your care. I trust you. He does not presume. None of us can presume, because it's mercy. It's not something we deserve or have a right to. But he hopes. He hopes. God is kind. And so each and every day we must come to Christ like that, in that absolute desperation. Lord, purify me. I don't have any right to it. but I hope you are willing. Let me share with you what I think is the greatest comfort in this passage. Lord, are you willing to heal? Are you willing to save? We all struggle, don't we, to understand God's will. When terrible things happen, when we suffer, and we wonder, how could this be God's plan? How could this be any good in this? Lord, what are you doing? And God's will can seem that the more we stir into it, to be at times a bottomless abyss of the unknown. Life is so mysterious. And we might be led to wonder, Lord, who are you? And where do you stand with me, Lord? Do you really love me? Will you really save me? And the place we need to look for an answer, when you say, Lord, are you willing? Are you for me, Lord? Are you good to me, Lord? Are you love me? Are you with me? Is you need to look at where God has revealed himself in Jesus. And he says, I am willing. That's God's will. That's what you can know for sure. All that is in those words of Christ is saying, I am with you. I am compassionate. I do save. I do heal. I do love you. I am with you. And we might look at other things like the leper must have looked at his condition and wondered, what could be God's will in this? Are you willing, Lord? Look to Christ. He says, I'm willing. Here, as you look to Christ, you see the love and compassion of God. That's what you can hang on to. That's what you can cling to. Christ says, I am with you. I am for you. And so you see, Christ's wonderful answer is not just be healed, it's be cleansed. This is a healing that's more than skin deep. Yes, he heals the man of the illness, but he declares be cleansed. He gives him a whole new status. To be cleansed means to be sanctified, be made holy. He means you're forgiven. By my touch, by my word, you are right with God. And then in fulfillment of that, in fulfillment of the law, go to the priests and fulfill what God has commanded. You're free to do it now. You can go now with offerings of thanksgiving and praise and enjoy this status of cleanliness. But also, do you see there's a wonderful contrast there? That Christ cleanses the heart, where religion and ritual only go skin deep. Even the law, the wonderful, blessed law of God and the rituals given to Israel, they were good, they were helpful. But they were not able to cleanse anyone, truly. They were outward, they were symbolic, it was washing of the body. But now here's the real fulfilling of all of that, the real fulfilling of the law. An outward religion, in that sense, rituals, no matter how good, are not enough. Only Christ, direct contact with Christ, Christ's touch cleanses from sin. Christ is the one who fulfills and brings all that cleanliness and holiness. And again, another terrible mistake that we could make is in trying to heal our souls, is we can have rituals, even outward religion, even today when people don't come to organized religion, most people still have rituals, their own invented superstitions, things they do to try to cleanse their guilt. People punish themselves, they hurt themselves, or people seek to do good in a kind of penance, or try and make things right. They deceive themselves and say, all religion's the same, it's just, you know, doing the right things outwardly. They might do some kind of, you know, new age stuff. All of those things are just skin deep. Only Jesus Christ can cleanse the conscience, can cleanse the heart. Only Christ takes our sin away. Because he is the Son of God. And now died, now risen. He's the one who is pure. And the one who sends the Holy Spirit to live in us. So here is the wonderful gospel that Mark is preaching to us. Jesus the Savior who heals. He heals us from the powers of darkness. He heals us from death. And he heals us from sin. Just this one touch from Jesus can make you holy. What is that one touch tonight? It is faith. It is that you come to Christ tonight. You turn to him as your Savior. You say, Lord, are you willing? And then his hand to touch you is his Holy Spirit. And he promises to bless and to heal you. I think as we go on as Christians, you grow to understand what God is doing in your life day by day. Is that God is trying to go more than skin deep with us and purify our hearts, our impure thoughts and what we love. And so often what the Lord is doing through our trials is he's seeking, if you like, to get under our skin, to strip away our layers, to strip away all the things we depend on in order to purify our hearts for eternity. So indeed, our problems are more than skin deep. But Christ is the one who can cleanse. Put your trust in him this evening. Let us pray. O gracious Saviour in heaven, we come before you tonight as helpless, empty sinners. Like this leper, Lord, we need to be made clean. Lord, there is within us a deep corruption from our fall into sin. We confess that we are impure within. But, O Jesus, we thank you for being our wonderful Saviour, for taking, Lord, our sin onto yourself, for loving us. We thank you for your power to heal us. Lord, we pray that you would reach out your Spirit to us this night, and that you would purify our hearts. Teach us, O Lord, how to love you truly. Teach us, Lord, how to be pure in our obedience. Teach us, Lord, how to avoid sin, so that more and more we are like you, the righteous one. Lord, we come to you with our brokenness. We are assaulted, Lord, by the powers of darkness. We are sick. We are grieving. Lord, we pray, reach out with your healing hand and heal us tonight to the praise and glory of your name. Amen.